everyone, and welcome to Celestial Weather. This is an astrological forecasting show where we talk about the planetary movements in the heavens and how these movements correspond with our lives as humans here on Earth. My name is June Rose Trimbach, and I'm an astrologer in Olympia, Washington. So thank you so much for joining us on the show today. It is Tuesday, March 27th, 2018, as I am recording this. So this week it's an interesting week, and there's a lot going on this week. We have a full moon, we have a Mars-Saturn conjunction, we have a Mercury in the heart of the sun, and we have a Venus-Uranus conjunction all this week. So don't worry if you don't know what that means, because I will explain it to you. So let's just go through the week and we can kind of track how the energy builds. So starting on Tuesday night, that's tonight, we have the moon applying to trine Venus and Uranus. So there's kind of this open channel for Venus-Uranus to express. Now, what this means, what this can mean, Venus-Uranus is very much about breaking boundaries, breaking out of habits, breaking out of, you know, comforts that we've fallen into. You know, Venus being the planet of comfort and of love and of human relationship and art and beautiful things. When Venus conjoins Uranus, which is a planet of things breaking up, liberation, the cracking open of any cage, the kind of dynamic ability to generate something new, to pull something new out of the heavens from the gods and bring it to the people. So it has to do with ingenuity and genius and invention. So when Venus and Uranus come together, it's about reinventing social interaction, reinventing the way we give and receive love, of course, but also the way we communicate with each other as people, the way we engage in social harmony and social exchange. And Venus-Uranus, especially in Aries, has a huge potential to liberate from social customs, to kind of crack out of the, you know, the established way of interacting with each other, and hopefully to interact from a place that's more authentic and to kind of break free from those restrictions that, you know, maybe keep you from connecting with people, keep you from having intimate relationships, or from expressing yourself on an artistic level. Venus-Uranus is a powerful time to do art that is liberating, art that is trying to bring something new into the consciousness of humans. It feels as well like it could be very physical, very much about expressing something through performance art or dance, you know, just jumping about, you know. In the sign of Aries, it is very, yes, it's very expressive. Aries is a sign of the ram, and you know the ram is kind of famous for those battles that it has, where it, you know, takes its head and it rams into the other ram's head. It's about going into something brow first. It's about focusing the energy into the brow, into, you know, and if you look into an area's eyes, you can see how they're focused up and out and what that's at what's right in front of them. And so we focus, you know, our love. We're releasing any kind of restriction that, you know, that's been keeping our affection inside, or keeping our artistic expression inside, and we can focus on this liberating electrical force, and hopefully it can free something within us, you know. And Venus, your Venus and Aries in general, you know, can kind of be seen in like a warrior woman archetype. It's very much to do with fighting in love and fighting for love. And I think you can see how these themes are present right now. You know, this past weekend has seen Venus applying to Uranus, coming closer to Uranus. And yeah, we can see that in the March for Our Lives, as well as, you know, there's other reasons, other things, other astrological signatures that are, you know, contributing and giving strength to that movement. But Venus Uranus is one of them, just for this past weekend, March. And we also had Venus this weekend conjoining Eris, which is, you know, kind of a minor astrological body, although some astrologers would not like me saying that, because they consider it very important. But Eris is the goddess of discord, and so a Venus-Eris conjunction in Aries is very much about, you know, breaking the social norm. And hopefully, you know, through love, through the greater purpose of finding social harmony, but it has to be done through kind of disrupting things first, through kind of expressing the self, expressing, and even, you know, as we come together, expressing, you know, some kind of common values, but it's about fighting and releasing something and getting in touch with a more authentic place and kind of casting off the chains. So Tuesday night we have the moon trining this, so this is just to say that it's a good time to try to tap into this energy of liberation, either in community or in yourself. It's a good time to kind of be creative, be loud, be expressive, remember joy, you know, and yeah. And then Wednesday is the day that Venus and Uranus actually come together by conjunction. Exactly. And so we can expect some of this energy to be present on Wednesday as well. So this is a big theme for the week, but there's some other big themes going on this week as well. And so another thing that's happening on Wednesday is the moon will be in Virgo, which is a nice time to like clean and, you know, get some work done. But even more so because it will be trining the Mars-Saturn conjunction. So Mars and Saturn are getting closer and closer together all of this week, and they're going to actually conjoin on Monday, April 2nd. At 9 a.m. Pacific time. And so all this time, you know, they're getting closer and closer together. And So collectively, you know, we're feeling this. It's kind of like we're under some kind of pressure, but hopefully there is also a creative drive and a creative will, you know, to make something manifest, to create something in the real world that is of value. So Wednesday night, you know, you get this kind of trine from the moon in Virgo to Mars and Saturn, and I would just say it's a really nice time to try to get some work done. I'll just leave it at that. So one of the biggest stories this week is, of course, the full moon. And this is happening, it's kind of happening on Friday night. It'll be like building up. So if you're looking to see when the moon is fullest, if you're in my area of the world, Friday night will be the night that it appears the most full. And it's exact on 6 a.m. on Saturday morning, Pacific time. So the energy will be building on Friday night, but it will very much still be in play throughout the day on Saturday and throughout the day on Friday as well. So full moons are, they can be a big deal in our lives. Sometimes they come and go and we don't notice them very much at all. Sometimes we notice, oh, wow, that was very strong. And you realize, you know, oh, it was a full moon. And it does depend on what it's doing in your natal chart, you know, especially if it's in the sign of, you know, your rising sign or, you know, the opposite sign of your rising sign. If it's in your sun sign or your moon sign, that's kind of a good way to track when you'll feel them more. I notice I really do always feel the Virgo full moon because I'm Virgo rising. But this full moon is, there is something kind of particularly powerful about it. That's really calling our attention to it. And it's because it's so tightly configured into the Mars-Saturn conjunction and tightly configured into the Mercury retrograde. So if you're a cardinal person, meaning if you have planets in Cancer, Libra, Capricorn, or Aries, you're likely to really feel the energy right now. It's very, very cardinal. And that means there's a lot of force. The cardinal points throughout the year in the zodiac are these turning points in the seasons and the turning points in the sun cycle. So there's something very strong because they carry the energy of force that it requires to turn something around or to begin something new. There's a strength and a catalyzing ability that these signs have and that planets, when they're in these signs, have. So there is kind of a lot of force right now in the heavens that's kind of pushing us to change, turn things around, pushing us to begin something new. So let's talk about the Mars-Saturn conjunction. So Mars is a planet that is hot and dry. It tends to separate things. Mars rules over all things that cut. We know things that cut can be used to help sustain people. You know, axes are used to cut down trees. And scythes are used to cut grain. And, you know, weapons are used to kill animals that we eat. It's not that Mars is, you know, inherently bad. It's just that these kinds of things can get out of hand, and when they do get out of hand, it's very noticeable. It's very striking, right? So Mars is a planet that does have to do with work and the physical ability to be able to cut something, as well as any kind of emotional ability to be able to cut something, as in, you know, being able to, like, cut ties with someone, you know, like, emotionally cut someone out of your life, or, and, you know, sometimes this is done through a fight, through anger and passion, and that's kind of the emotion that Mars is associated with, anger and passion, and rage and frenzy, as well as courage and bravery. So these things can be used for work. We know that there's also a lot of kind of bravery rituals that people go through, especially, you know, young men in different cultures where they maybe are kind of sent off on their own, or they're invited to do some kind of ceremony that tests their bravery. And this is like a Mars type of initiation. And, you know, the people are changed by it. They're very, very changed by it. And in a way, there's something that we can learn from this now. If there is some kind of project that requires this courage, requires this work, maybe it requires a tool to cut something or a weapon, or maybe it requires just getting your hands in the dirt and building something. So Mars can be creative, or it can help. It's like it doesn't generate of itself, but it uses the tools around it to kind of harvest, or to kind of put in the labor to make something fruitful. And so it can be very creative in this way. You know, you channel Mars into the courage to go out into the world and do something. Anytime that you're psyching yourself up to do something, you know, you're engaging your Mars to a certain extent. Anytime that you say, okay, I'm just gonna go for it, you know, that's, you're tapping into Mars. Anytime you kind of get hot-headed and fly off the handle a little bit, you're also engaging your Mars. So yeah, there's different layers. So as Mars and Saturn come together, they come together in the sign of Capricorn, which is it's a cardinal earth sign. So we're dealing with that energy of force, the force of creation. And Capricorn is an earth sign. So we're dealing with the material world, like the physical world, like this table, money, food, and the physical structures of our lives, the buildings, all of these kinds of things are earthen. They're of the earth. So when Mars is in Capricorn, it's actually treated as an exalted guest throughout its stay. The Capricorn welcomes Mars into its domain because there's a lot of work to be done, and Mars is the one that can get it done. Mars has the heat and the fire required to move the material world, required to take our passion, you know, and put it into something physical that we're really creating. So it's a very powerful placement, and it does call us to work. There's an opportunity to dedicate yourself to a labor, hopefully, you know, a labor that is aligned with what you want to be doing. But there is also, if you're in a job that you don't like, there's a good chance that you're being sacked with a bunch of work right now as well, maybe that you don't want to be doing. But, you know, and there's a Saturnine component to this, because Mars is headed into Saturn, and Saturn rules Capricorn, so Saturn has the power here. And we know Saturn to be a planet of responsibility and regulation. And Saturn is the planet of structure and of the bones of things, you know, the 2x4s that your house is built on, maybe, or whatever your house is built around, the foundation that your house rests on, you know, the basement, if you have one of those. So Saturn is very much about, it's the thing that bears the load, and it's the thing to which we cling. Life without Saturn would have no structure. Saturn is associated with the physical world itself. It's the most dense planet. It's the bones to which our flesh cling. And if we did not have those, we would not be standing. So we need a Saturn in our life. It's literally the spine. It's literally the thing that holds us up, the structure of our lives, the structure of our bodies. But it's a thing that we also cling to in life. And so it's very helpful in this way. But Saturn requires something of us. It requires us to use our muscles to stay standing. It requires us to walk with our head held high. Because if we don't, if we slouch, we'll begin to have spine problems. So it requires us to walk with a certain level of honor and esteem. And in order to walk with these within ourselves, you know, we either have to embrace an integrity and an honesty and feel as though we're living up to tradition, or we're living up to ourselves in a good way, that we're in our own authority, or we're walking in accordance with an authority that we trust. Or it requires us to lie about all of that. But, you know, even then, I think that's a Saturn problem. So as Mars and Saturn come together, we might be faced with the responsibility of our work. And in some instances, it's put on us from the outside. We may be experiencing, you know, a heavier workload than usual, or all these responsibilities are kind of nagging at us. Or it's coming at us from the inside, and we're feeling the pressure, perhaps, to create and to engage, to get our hands and our passion and our fire and put it into the dirt, put it into the structures. A lot of the images associated with Capricorn are images of big structures, of pyramids, of monuments built, of thrones. It's these large creations that people come together to build. There is a more sinister side of Capricorn and of Saturn in all of this, and it has to do with power and control. We know that the people who built the pyramids were not free. So there's a question of what we are beholden to and what is the authority that we are beholden to. And this is really important, because when we're in our own authority, or we've chosen to dedicate ourselves to a certain authority, be it the traditions of the past, the elders of our community, or even a deity, or whatever it may be, or it's, you know, your boss, or your father, or whoever, right? When we experience these things in our lives, right? And some of the things we can't control. You know, we're born into certain circumstances where people naturally have power over us. And Saturn very much has to do with the way that we respond to this. So, you know, in my society, in the United States, you know, we are definitely born under a system of power. And you can see Saturn in the way that it has to do with social order. It very much does have to do with the cultural laws, the societal laws. that we live under. Saturn has a force, it comes at us from different directions, right? Because Saturn, the force inside of us, as it is our spine, it's what keeps us strong. As an internal force, it's a thing that holds us up. You know, emotionally, it's the things that we adhere to, and when we adhere to them, it makes us feel proud. It makes us feel as though we've done our job, and we've done our job, we've done everything we could, we've fulfilled our responsibility, and that helps us stand straighter. But it also comes at us from the outside, and hopefully, you know, in an ideal kind of society or culture, it would be the structures in the life that help the community flourish. So it would be, you know, the physical buildings. It would be if there is a system of kind of plumbing, if there is a system for how the people get water, like a routine. It's, you know, the words that come down from the leaders of the society that tell, you know, the community members what to do. And all of these things are naturally good, or rather, like, you know, in a certain way necessary for society to function. You know, who is the backbone of a society? And now that question kind of goes in two different directions when you answer it, because you get, there's kind of the people who are making the laws, but then there's the people who actually put in the physical labor to make the society function. So Saturn actually is connected with both of these things. It's connected to both the physical laborers that may or may not be mistreated in any given society, that dig the trenches, that build the houses. But it also has to do with, you know, the consolidated power structure and the authority and the rule makers, lawmakers. And so you end up with this kind of interesting relationship kind of within Saturn, that there's the people at the center and the people that are, you know, upholding it from below. Or the people at the top and the people that are upholding them from below. So Saturn, the way that we see it anyway nowadays, it does tend to be a hierarchical planet, or at least the way that we, the way we've experienced, or the way I've experienced it in this society that I live in, that is very hierarchical. But of course, in a society that was like non-hierarchical, like, there would still be some kind of Saturn function, I would guess. So hierarchies are not always bad, and it depends like what you're putting first as a society. You know, if people are putting the sacred mountain, for example, that's near them first, and that's their highest priority, that's one thing. You know, if people put, you know, any number of other things, it changes the nature of the society. So it has to do with what you respect and what you look up to, but it also has to do with those, the things that hold that up, the physical people and the physical labor, the ideals. So what does that mean for us, right? So for us as individuals now, it is the time to kind of tune into these larger currents in our life. So Saturn, as a planet, it gives life and it takes life away. It is the thing that, it gives life through the structure, right? We wouldn't be able to live in the way we do without a spine. It gives us that ability to have freedom, you know, that the spine does kind of give us. But then we have to question, you know, to what are we responsible to? And that's like big questions, you know. But Saturn takes life away too, and Saturn has been associated with death and decay since the beginning. And the dimming of life. And it's not inherently a bad thing, you know, we fear death and we fear loss and all of that, but that's just, you know, the way that we are now. Saturn has to do with those sacred grief processes and sacred death rites as well. It's a large archetype because it has to do with the way things come into form and being and the way they pass out of form and being. This is because, you know, Saturn is the farthest out planet in, you know, that we can see in our solar system with a visible eye. So it's a threshold keeper. It's a gatekeeper to the outer planets, which we can't see. So it's the gatekeeper to the unknown. Okay, that's death. So it has to do with the limits and the boundaries of life. The limits and the boundaries of the physical world, the limits and the boundaries in our own life, you know, whether they're in our minds or very physical boundaries that, you know, we cannot cross, the boundaries of a nation, you know, very little boundary. So we're kind of maybe faced with these boundaries, and we might also be faced with the question of creation or decay. Sometimes it's time for things to go and things to be destroyed. Mars and Saturn coming together can very much be that. It can very much be about destroying, cutting away the structure. It's not only creative, it's very destructive, but it can be very creative. Because Mars and Saturn, because they are the so-called malefics of the zodiac, their function is very extreme. They, you know, they rule over the more extreme aspects of life, you know, when you have a physical injury or when you're going to war, it's something that happens, but it's one of the more extreme parts of life. So when Mars and Saturn come together, we're dealing with all of these themes. We question what we're responsible to and what is the work necessary to put in order to fulfill our responsibility. We question our, you know, and that's a huge question just in and of itself, but yeah, so it's either, you know, a huge time to kind of get to work, or it's a huge time to get to work destroying something, or just, you know, dismantling the structures of your life, you know. But it's, you know, it depends on what it's time for, you know. So again, we can see this on a collective level as well right now. So the full moon is 6 a.m. on Saturday Pacific time. Friday night, the moon is applying to square Mars and Saturn. So as it's approaching its exact fullness, you know, it's a full moon, but as it's approaching its exact fullness, it'll be squaring Mars and Saturn on Friday night around midnight. So Friday night might not be like the most fun night. I wouldn't describe it as like fun, but I would describe it as, I guess, just more of this time to get work done. And then the full moon is the next, you know, kind of morning exactly. But so let's talk about the full moon a bit. So the sun is in Aries, so the light, the source of light of the full moon is coming from the sun in Aries. And, you know, we know the sun is In its exaltation in Aries, it's treated as an honored guest. In the northern hemisphere, the sun's returning to light. You know, the days are returning to be more, to be longer. And there's a, you know, there's a force, the force of spring, the force of light returning, the force of Aries, you know, the force of the strength and the strength to upset the balance when it is what the balance truly needs. Aries is a Mars-ruled sign, and this is very important. We are very much dealing with a Mars-Saturn conjunction in this full moon. So the light is kind of coming from this this area of the zodiac that has to do with spring and emergence and power and the ram and focusing into the brow point and the passion and the courage and the ability to tip the scales back when they're unbalanced. So the sun as well has another planet with it, and that is Mercury. So we know Mercury is retrograde, and Mercury is headed into the heart of the sun for its retrograde phase. So it's moving into the heart of its retrograde at this time. So we know that this will call us to a more kind of internal process to understand. It might not be internal, though. I'll just say that, just so people aren't thinking it has to be that way. But it does, Mercury retrograde does make us think a little bit deeper. It makes us, powerful things can happen, though. Very symbolic things can happen. We start recognizing signs and symbols in the world around us. Synchronistic events may occur more often. It pulls us into a deep process, a deep mental process, a deep alchemical process of change. And in the sign of Aries, you know, it's like we're becoming refamiliarized with that sense of courage and the heat and the vitality of facing the world and the joy that comes with facing the world. We're kind of rediscovering the passion and the individual mind, you know, how, yeah, we're kind of pulled into this flaming fire of the mind, where we are reignited, purified, where the fire, you know, it burns off the thoughts that are plaguing us, can burn off doubts, burn off hesitation, and we're pulled into this place of mental force. So it doesn't have to be an internal process. You can kind of go through this with other people too. But I would say, yeah, there's something about when Mercury is retrograde that there is like a, feels like a dramatic pulling of something, even if it's like the pulling of a wave that kind of like pulls you back, but it's pulling you back into something. And, you know, people say things like, oh, communication goes haywire, but I think it's because it's pulling us into a deeper realization of the mercurial processes, deeper realization of what communication means. And in many instances, it does not line up with what was passing for communication before, you know. So, yeah, so it's a, yeah, being pulled back into this kind of sacred noetic fire, the burning of the mind, the purifying of the mind. And so the moon is in Libra, so it's a full moon in Libra, which puts us in the realm of, you know, social harmony and social exchange and what is the status quo and what, you know, Libra is the sign of the scales, and it very much has to do with the balance of, you know, of relating to other people, relating between things, between ideas especially, you know, this idea or that idea. And it is a very rational and intelligent sign that has to do with the weighing of options. But Libra and the scales, you know, also are associated with justice and the social currents of a society. And the way that the scales are tipped, you know, are they tipped in favor of someone else? And this is a very important part of Libra. Yes, it does have to do with how we communicate, like relate to other people and the social harmony. You know, Venus is the ruler of Libra, and it is a good sign that she at this point will have just entered into her other sign of Taurus, which gives her some strong essential dignity. But there's another component of Libra, and this is that Saturn is actually the exalted guest when it's in Libra. And that has to do with a couple things. So if you picture the scales, you can kind of picture Lady Justice with the scales at her feet. And we can see Venus and Saturn in this image. So we talked about Venus being about social harmony, and Libra is so much about social harmony and so much about what are the actions, you know, we can take to help people get along with each other, to help society support people and all of this. But there's a Saturnine component to it, because when the scale has been tipped, there's a judgment that occurs. And Saturn really is the planet of judgment and of final judgments. You know, at the end of life in the Egyptian mythology, there is the story of the heart being weighed against the feather on the scales, and it's a death rite and has to do with Saturn in this way. And it's a final judgment that is made. So Saturn can be a harsh judge. And Libra is not always kind. You know, for example, in the United States chart, Saturn is in Libra when the Declaration of Independence was signed. Saturn was in Libra. And so we can get the sense that there's a strong legal system in this country, and, you know, maybe that was helping the Declaration of Independence, but it does not free it from possible corruption. Unfortunately, the zodiac and where the planets are in the zodiac will show the power of the planets, but it won't show the morality of the planets, because planets, in my opinion, respond to the morality of humans, but they're kind of beyond that realm. And so, you know, Lady Justice can be abused. And, you know, on a collective level, you know, we're very much, you know, we're in this. But in our own lives, you know, as individuals, I mean, so much of this to me is really tied into collective events that it can be a little bit hard for me to not notice that or to focus my attention away from that. But in our own lives, you know, there is this question of what is out of balance. What is out of balance in our lives, in the structures of our lives? And how can we, what work can we do to get things back into balance? And it may require a lot of work from us right now. There's a lot to be done. So, yeah, so the full moon is very closely square the Mars-Saturn conjunction in Capricorn. And Mars rules over Aries, and Saturn is the exaltation ruler of Libra. And they're coming together. So we can use kind of this Aries energy to help tip the balance back, to give us, you know, the strength and the courage. As long as we think things through, you know, we're going through this Mercury retrograde time, which is a time to purify the mind and go back and realize the things that we may have been wrong about, that we may have read incorrectly. And so we're kind of in this, like, you know, sometimes Mercury retrograde feels like a snake skin shedding, or it feels like, you know, this deep purifying kind of experience where we're kind of in this deep process with ourselves. And this can be, you know, collectively or just by ourselves, but we're kind of purifying, you know, like the fire is helping the snake skin come off or something. And it's a really good time to do dream work and all of that. And so we're shifting, you know, there's a big shift that happens when Mercury goes retrograde, where we can change our perception of the world. We can change our perception of things. And it kind of aligns also with the Venus-Uranus conjunction that happens earlier in the week on Wednesday, that there is this shedding or this liberation theme that we're in right now, where we can cast off these incorrect bindings, whether they're coming from the outside world or they are self-imposed. So this is a big component. We look for the resources to do this work. We look to Mars. And so what are the resources of Mars? Well, it's a lot to do with physical labor. So the physical labor that we're looking at, it's a lot to do with just putting the work in to really change the physical structures of your life, to really begin something new and say, okay, this is the structure that I need in my life to make it work. Or these structures are outdated and they're not serving me and they need to be dismantled, right? So there's a severing that can happen. You know, Mars and Saturn can work together to take something down, you know, to decay it from the inside and then cut it off and cut it away. So whatever that might be, you know, and it will depend on your own natal chart, the area of life that will occur in. So giving yourself to the earth now is a really interesting idea. Sometimes the expectations of Saturn are too much to live up to, and sometimes it can feel like a cloying weight. And I would say, if that's what it feels like and you cannot live up to it, to go outside and give yourself to the earth, lay on the earth, and remember what it means to be held. That's a Saturnine experience as well. When you give your respect to the foundation of your life, which is the earth and the fruits of the earth, and you give respect to the fact that this will all die, your life will die away, anything living now will die away to be, you know, composted and turned into something new. This is the other part of Saturn. And this is a part of Saturn that gets forgotten about or gets abused sometimes, like by our society, you know, so we want to pretend that nothing ever ends. But it does. And if it feels like the weight of responsibility and creation is too much, you know, go back to the mother, you know, go back to the crone. And remember that anything that you create, it's like spirit gave you the resources to create it. You know, this is my own cosmology, but like, if the work load seems too much or you can't do it, just remember that you are given the resources that you have, and it's up to you what you do with them. But at the same time, you know, nothing comes into being without the assistance of something from spirit. And so it's not all about us. This is kind of the point I'm trying to say. It's not all about you and what you create as an individual. And that's a really strong Saturnine piece of wisdom, because I think that's where Saturn can get abused, you know, when we forget that it is about something bigger than us. You know, it's about the ancestors and the future and the earth. So, you know, go back to them. You know, if you're having trouble with this transit, go back to the ancestors and ask them, you know, what needs to be done? Where do I really belong in all of this? What is the work that really is calling to me? And I think that will help, because the burden is not all on you as an individual. You know, the burden is shared by us collectively. You know, and we each have our own work to do as individuals. So getting clear about what is ours and what isn't is really important now. And, you know, that's Mars and Saturn. You know, we're all under the weight of the collective events, and we all have a certain responsibility to the collective events. But, you know, what is our specific responsibility in all of that? You know, so we return, you know, this is what I do anyway, you know, try to return to spirit, return to the ancestors, return to the earth, you know. And they're usually pretty kind. And, you know, we get trapped in our minds, and, you know, I do anyway, and this is maybe part of the Mercury retrograde experience. Sometimes we need to just get out of our minds, get into the work. And some people have the opposite problem, right? They're in the work, maybe they need to get into their minds, right? And so it's a balance right now, you know. It depends, you know, where you fall as an individual. You'll be feeling these different themes in different ways as they come. So Venus moves into Taurus. I kind of mentioned that but glossed over it. Yeah, Venus moves into Taurus. That's a nice time to reconnect with the Earth. And just, it's grounding, which is really, I think it helps. I think it helps us, will help us feel a bit more grounded through all of this. On Sunday is the Mercury Kazemi. So it will be on April 1st, Sunday, 10:54 a.m. Pacific time. So I like to try to be like meditating during this, or out in nature or something, or like, you know, writing poetry or something. But, you know, wherever you feel called at that time will be the right place. So it's just a powerful symbolic time. And then Monday is the exact Mars-Saturn conjunction around 9 a.m. Pacific time. And the moon as well on Monday will be sextiling Mars and Saturn from Scorpio. So that might be a kind of a powerful day. Okay, let me just think if there's anything else that I should say about this week. There's a lot of catalytic kind of forces. It's a bit dramatic at times. But I think if we remember to stay grounded during it all. And, you know, let the transits move you, right? Because there's pain in the resistance, so letting the full moon push you, move you to action, move you to your work in the world, it could be helpful. There's force to put out into the world. There's a lot of force to put out, but remember that it's not just coming from you. There's a wind behind you that's pushing you. It doesn't all have to be self-generated. We can open our backs to receive the wind and let it push us into the work, into the force, into the larger currents of work in the world. Do what you can to transmute energy at this time. Do what you can to open your perceptions and change your perceptions about what work is. You know, is work a privilege? Is work a joy? You know, clear away some of those fears and some of those doubts, because, yeah, the planets might be nagging you a lot right now, but really it's yourself, you know. And it is a powerful time for clearing out the mind and clearing out doubt and clearing out fear. So let that happen if it can. And remember that the work in the world, it doesn't define you. You know, you are free from judgment, and it's only what you choose to make of it. And try to find joy in the choice if you can. And be honest. Okay, thank you so much for listening to the show this week. My website, if you want to check it out, is juneroseastrology.com. This show plays every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific time on Hollow Earth Radio. And you can tune in at KHUH 104.9 FM Seattle or go to hollowearthradio.org. And yeah, that's lovely. I think that's it for today. So have a great week and enjoy the full moon. Thank you and goodbye.